Around 300 residents in a former holiday park in Queenstown face an uncertain future as plans to develop the site move ahead. The former Lakeview Holiday Park is set for a $1 billion transformation into a commercial, residential and hotel development in the centre of the resort town. It's likely to be a 10-year stage project, but the question of what to do with around 300 residents of 160 cabins on the old holiday park site hasn't been answered. Unless they qualify for a needs-based exemption, they'll need to vacate the site by late October. The Queenstown Chamber of Commerce will hold a workshop in July to connect some of the Lakeview residents with rental agencies to help support them into new accommodation. But is there room to squeeze more residents into Queenstown's notoriously tight rental market? With us is the Chamber's new Chief Executive, Anna Mickle. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Could you just give us a little bit more of an idea of where things are at? Are these long-term residents of this facility? How does it work currently?
Yes, they are long-term, and my understanding is that there's very little sort of churn in there. So the people who are living there have been living there for some time, we're assuming that they are working in and around the area, so hence the action we've taken.
So this is a big accommodation provider for residents at the moment, and at what stage is the development process?
It's still actually only at the preferred bidder stage, so it's very, very early on in the process, and so there are a lot of people living there in really, really quite substandard accommodation. These are holiday homes or cribs. Down here, they're wooden structures that are really dilapidated is the word I would probably use to describe them. They're really not suitable for living in at all.
And however, it's a roof over someone's head, right? And there's a challenge getting that in Queenstown at the moment.
Yeah, it is a challenge. But it's not impossible. And a lot of the people who are living there can find accommodation, it's our understanding. And there are people who have been living there who actually have been using it as lower cost accommodation while they save to try and buy their own homes. So there are a group of people in there like that. There's others that are there because they're here on temporary work permits and they're just looking for somewhere short-term to stay. And there is a small group of, what we would call frail and vulnerable people that have already been, the council's been working with them and social agencies to move them into areas that are appropriate for them.
So this is council-owned land, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, I mean, another option would have been, I don't know if there's such a thing as social housing in Queenstown, and regrettably there may need to be with house prices. So that would have...
No, there is a great social housing process here. So they have the Queenstown Housing Trust, which is a separate independent trust set up by the council a few years ago. They've been going for some time now. They have about 530 families or family, what you might call groups of people on their waiting list. They've housed already 97... Oh no, they've actually helped 164 people to date, and they've got 97 households currently in accommodation, and they've just announced a big new development out in Arrowtown as well.
So they own the properties and they let them to social housing tenants.
Well, actually, no. There's a range of over the time they've been operating, they've had I think four different ways of getting people into homes. At the moment, they're doing a scheme where they own the land, but the property on the land is leased on a 100-year lease to the resident. So these are for people who are committed to the area, and they can know that they've got a property here for their lifetime if they want, and they pay a percentage of the land cost.
Lease, it's like a leasehold, is it?
The lease cost, yeah. So it's a very affordable way. It knocks the house price in half. It means they have a warm, comfortable and secure home for the long term. They had to go to that model because the other models they were using, of course, become subject to the normal accommodation and property price fluctuations and cycles. And so they just go into the market, the price goes up and the churn continues. So this way, if they sell, they have to sell it back to the trust. And they've got a sustainable model they're hoping now that will mean that there's always some lower cost homes for people in the area who are committed to staying here.
The question, of course, is commuting distance, and you mentioned Arrowtown. Mm. That's a long way from Queenstown. So are there other options a bit nearer to where people are working if they're working in
Queenstown? Well, the Lakeview, yes, there are. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, where the Lakeview development's going, I mean, this is some of the most beautiful land right very close to the city. And the reason I think, as I understand, the council has chosen the preferred bidder is that the first thing they're doing, first off the block, is different types of housing on that site. So they're aiming to get another, at the moment they've got 300 people in there, they're aiming to get 1,500 people in there on different types of housing and some co-living arrangements there as well. There's other co-living or other worker accommodation being built out of Frankton. But I guess moving people around the area is really difficult. They are looking to increase density in town, but that's difficult as well for pricing and just to make the business model work. The more pragmatic solution is they've recently started the $2 bus all right around the region between Arrowtown, Jack's Point, Frankton and downtown. So everybody can get around the area on the $2 bus. And that's a joint sort of approach by the Otago Regional Council and QLDC. So that's going really well. They've had, I think, last I heard, about 1.5 million travel episodes over the year. So it's got off to a great start. Still a long way to go. And, of course, the buses are still subject to traffic delays as well, which is annoying. But there's lots of projects to try and improve that as well going on.
You won't have to have a lakeside light rail or little rail machine down on the waterfront.
Well, master planning is underway and there's lots of ideas. So certainly mass transit of some sort. It seems that in many parts of the world that gondolas are really useful and efficient and cost-effective way to move people around in a mass transit model. So that's being looked at. That's in the plans. But, you know, it's going through all the workshop. And, of course, all these major infrastructure projects are reliant on getting the funding to do it. And so the current ratepayer base here simply isn't big enough
to do it. You get into a vicious cycle, don't you? Because people can't afford to live there. They have to either commute or they just can't afford to live there. You've got very much a tourism-based or holiday home-based economy, so you don't necessarily get the rates coming in. So some big infrastructure challenges. As for the immediate, though, so 1,500... residential properties as part of this new development.
No, 1,500 people.
People, I beg your pardon.
Aiming to, yeah.
Oh, right, so that might be, what, 500 or houses or something
Like
that.
I think they've got a mixture of different different styles of accommodation going in there. I haven't seen the details of it. That's not been released.
Is it the case that with this and perhaps with some other developments that I've seen down there, people currently living in pretty, you know, basic but relatively low-cost accommodation are the ones getting pushed out because, hey, we're selling this land and it's a great hotel site or a great kind of accommodation site? Is this the sort of the people trying to maintain a sane rent are the ones finding themselves pushed further and further to the edges or out altogether?
I think that would be, you know, it would be true that, older, dilapidated homes are being demolished and replaced with other types of buildings. They may be homes, they may be hotels, or they may indeed be holiday apartments that could go either way. Of course, I think that's the case. However, there are also a lot of new buildings being, you know, homes being built here out at Frankton, Jack's Point, and different types of them as well. So we're not just talking high-end homes. Certainly, and they're out closer to where the local services are, so where the supermarket is, where the hospital is, where the library is, all those services that you actually need if you're actually living here rather than holidaying here. So I don't think that it's not that there isn't plans in place to house the local local residents, and in fact the council's predicting that our local population's, you know, it's growing faster than anywhere else in the country at the moment. So it's very much front and centre from the council's perspective, but also property developers. They've identified there is a market here for homes and they're building them.
Those, though, who need a budget, are we seeing suitable apartment developments that aren't high-end that might come in? Because it's not just the ownership costs, it's the rent costs that go with an expensive property.
Look, it is expensive here. You know, it's as expensive as Auckland. It is very expensive, and people have to accept generally when they come here, if they're not coming from somewhere like Auckland or Wellington, they are having to accept a reduction in the standard of living that they've got. They're having to live closer with other people. Some of the buildings that are being built here, I think there's people say there's not a lot of land here. There is a lot of land here, but people need to get used to the idea that they're probably not going to be living in the, you know, quarter acre house with the, you know, the garden around them. They're going to have to move to smaller homes and maybe higher density living.
What's planned for your workshop? I imagine many of your members are saying, look, we're paying staff, you know, not particularly high wages, maybe in some instances not that much above minimum wage or at minimum wage. There's no way they can afford these rents. What's being discussed at the workshop as a way to deal with that, with the immediate pressures?
Well, we're just still getting people in to... We've only had a couple of people respond, so we're not thinking the issue is that significant. We've still got people dribbling in and saying they're wanting to come along. So what we were hoping to do is help the people who are, get the employers and the employees in the room and say, well, what assistance do you actually need? So it may be as simple as actually matching people, you know, into co-living arrangements and helping them with the, just the, you know, the cost of getting that bond together. So I'm looking at working with employers to look at different models that they might be able to assist with those sorts of things. Because sometimes it's just a matter of the actual not having that, you know, that upfront bond and first month's rent that, you know, is a real hurdle for a lot of people. If you can just get them over that, and employers can maybe look at how they can assist with that, or out of, you know, some sort of pay sacrifice thing. Or
thank you. And Anna, if people are interested in that, can they get in touch with you, obviously?
Yeah, yes, just by all means ring the Chamber, and we're happy to help.
Thank you. Anna Mickle, Queenstown Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive.